We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Dayonim, Halacha Beis, from the beginning. This halacha and the halacha that follows it, Halacha Gimel, are both based on the same chapter in Likutei Moran. The first one is brief, much shorter, and Rav Nosson Zal writes at the end of this first halacha that in the following halacha, he's going to explain much more elaborately the chapter on Likutei Moran. So let's begin. Inyan Dayonim, the topic of judges, Al Pima Shekosav Rabbeinu Zechet Tzadik Levrocha, B'maymar Hamaschil Tohoimoy Sichasiumu, B'simen Tes Likutei Aleph, Al Posuk Tsoihar Tasel Atevo, V'elamo Techalena Melmola. This halacha is going to be based on chapter 9 in Likutei Moran, which begins with the pasuk Tohoimoy Sichasiumu from Oz Yashir, and the chapter in Likutei Moran expounds on the instruction that was given to Noach to provide lighting in the ark. Tsoihar Tasel Atevo, provide a light for the ark. V'elamo Techalena Melmola, it should be like a skylight. V'haklal hayotze mishom, to summarize what Rabbeinu Zal says over there in chapter 9 in Likutei Moran, shekasher ha'odom oimed lehispalel, when a person is about to daven to Hashem, v'azai ha'choshech v'haklipois mesavevin oisoi u'mevalvelin oisoi. What happens very often is that darkness and tumah surround the person and try to confuse the person, try to prevent him from thinking clearly, from concentrating on the words of tefillah, putting his mind and heart in the tefillah. There's a pasuk that says, a pasuk in Koheles, I believe, that says, sakoisa me'onon loch, sakoisa be'onon loch, me'avor tefillah. You have surrounded yourself with clouds, blocking the tefillah from going through, preventing the tefillah from going through. We find Rabbeinu Zal also tells us that another word for tefillah is tehillah. Tehillah ledoved aroimimcho lekayem melech. Tehillah means praise, which is another word for tefillah. And in Hebrew, the word tehillah is spelled exactly the same as the word tohola. Tohola means confusion. And Rabbeinu Zal says, because sometimes the greatest confusion comes to a person when they want to daven. That's when their mind is full of confusion, all kinds of confusing thoughts. So Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 9 in Likutei Moran that when a person is experiencing this, he wants to daven, but he feels himself in darkness, in confusion. Azai ikar ho'etzo v'hatakono lozeh. One of the main solutions to this problem is lirois shiedaber dibur emes, to speak with truth, with honesty. Even if he can't put tremendous emotion and feeling into it, to at least make sure to speak with truth, honestly. V'ho emes, and this ingredient called truth, honesty, hu oir Hashem yisporach biatzmoy kavyocho. That is literally the light of Hashem himself. Vaidezeh meir lo Hashem yisporach biatzmoy. And if a person will speak honestly, then Hashem himself will shine upon that person. And we know Hashem is Shehu Etzem Ho'emes Kavyochol. Hashem is the essence of truth. We say Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Vazai Roye HaPsochim Eich Lotzeis Me'achoshech HaMesavev Oisoi V'chulu. And if Hashem is shining his light upon a person, then that person will be able to see his way out of the darkness that he finds himself in. This person was trying to daven to Hashem and he felt himself surrounded by all kinds of darkness and he can't find a way to get out of the darkness. If he'll speak the words of tefillah with sincerity, with honesty, with truth, Even though it's, if it's with, he doesn't have his heart in it completely, but at least he's making sure that he means what he says, and he says what he means. The emes, emes is Hashem, and emes is light. Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter quotes the pasuk Hashem oircha va'amitcha. Hashem is your light and your truth. The person's connection to emes will start shining a light for him to show him a way to get out of the darkness that he's in, to get clear of the darkness and to get close to Hashem. Ayin shom inyan zeh heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, study this topic over there in chapter 9 in Likutei Moran very well. Ki hu klal godol ma'oid ba'avodas habor yisborach, because this is a very important rule in serving Hashem, b'chol mokoim shehu, no matter where a person finds himself, no matter how far away he feels from Hashem, no matter what kind of tuma, what kind of darkness, what kind of confusion, this rule can help the person in an incredible way. This advice of emes, focusing on emes, and recognizing that emes is one of the most powerful weapons that a human being has, that a Jew has. Kimavoyer shom b'divrei Rabbeinu, as is explained over there in Rabbeinu Zal's words in chapter 9 in Likutei Moran, and in addition, oid b'mokom acher, also in another place in Likutei Moran, simin kuf yud beis, chapter 112, those two chapters overlap a lot. They both have a lot of similarity, they share a lot of information, and each one has information in it that the other one doesn't have. Torah tes and Torah kuf yud beis. Me'inyin zeh heitev, study this topic there well. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say over there, utfila hu bechinas emuna, that tfila is an expression of our faith in Hashem. There's the pasuk, the famous pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu is battling against Amalek, and the pasuk says, vayihi yodov emuna, his hands were outstretched in faith, and the Targum says, prison bitzloi, his hands were outstretched in tefillah. So we see that tefillah and emunah are synonymous. Ayin Shom, look over there in Torah Tes and Likutei Moran for more information on this. Paragraph Beis. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins. Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal is addressing the topic of tefillah. Here, Rav Nosson Zal takes the same concepts and applies it to judges in a court. Vehine, elu hashnei baledinim haboim ledin. These two litigants who are coming to court for a judgment, umakchishin ze eze, and they are disagreeing with each other. This one says I'm right, the other one says I'm right. Ve'echod mehem toyein sheker bevadai. One of them is definitely wrong. In many cases, one of them is false. His definition of what's of right and truth is incorrect. V'hu bechinas pegam emuna, and this is an example of something lacking in emuna. Why? Where does emuna come into this? We know when the Torah discusses performing, conducting business properly, the term that's used is ki hayotzorech lasois masa umatan be'emuna. A Jew is supposed to conduct his business manners, his money matters, be'emuna. Emuna means faith, and emuna also means trustworthiness. Ish ne'emon means a person who's trustworthy. K'may shamru, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, page 31, that when a person passes away, when they come before the heavenly court, before they go into detail in analyzing the person's life, they first ask him six very important questions. One of the first questions is, Nososo venosato be'emuna. Did you conduct your business in an honest, trustworthy way? So we see that the word emuna is used regarding conducting business properly. Vezeh makrish ba'amisoi. And one of the two litigants here is disagreeing with his friend. He's lying possibly, or in some kind of a disagreement. V'toyein sheker. He's arguing falsely. He's trying to present a case as if he's right when he's not. V'ein loy ne'emonus. He's not really trustworthy. He's not really completely trustworthy. Nimtza. We see, therefore, b'sho sheboim ledin, that when two litigants come to court, hubechinas pegam emuna, there is an aspect of pegam emuna involved. One of them or both of them are somehow lacking in emuna. Emuna being faith or emuna being trustworthiness. Vitzorech lesakein ulevarer hu emuna. Therefore, if there's something wrong with the emuna, we have to try to repair it, to fix it. Ulevarer hu emes, and to clarify the truth in me. With whom is the truth? Which one of the two is right? Ach yefsher lebosser vadom leida imi hoemes. However, in many cases, it's impossible for a human being, a person of flesh and blood, to be able to know who's right and who's telling the truth. Ki hasheker mechape al hoemes. Because falsehood covers over the emes. And sometimes it looks exactly the same. Ki koshe lahakir bein atoin emes latoin sheker. Sometimes it's very hard to distinguish between the one who's telling the truth and the one who's not telling the truth. Uma yase hadayin lohoitzi hadin lamitoi. Therefore, what can a judge do who's put into this situation? He has these two people in front of him. How in the world can he see and figure out who's telling the truth? So Rav Nosson Zal says, Ho'etzo v'hatakonu l'ze, the advice and the solution to this is, Hu inyan hanal hanemar etzel tefila, is a similar path to what Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likut Imran chapter 9 about a person who's having problems with tefila, shehi gam kein b'chinas emuna. Tfila is also emuna. Tfila is emuna, and what the judges are trying to achieve is emuna. Dahainu, which means shetzorech hadayon lirois sheyedaber dibur emes. The judge who is in front of these two litigants and he's going to be talking to them, or the judges are going to be talking to each other, they have to focus on emes. Truth, making sure that they watch every word coming out of their mouth, that every word coming out of their mouth should be emet, truth. Dahainu, shehamishpot shehu roitze lifsoik al habalei dinim, yihye be'emes b'li shum hatoyo l'shum tzad. Meaning, the judge has to be extremely careful and focused on the truth, that he only wants to know what the truth here is and what's really right, with being extremely careful not to lean towards either one of the litigants, not to show any iota of favoritism towards either one of the two. K'moshe Kosuv, as the Pasuk says, loisate mishpot. Don't lean the judgment, the justice. Don't keep it up in the middle, centered, focus.
As the Torah warns us about this many times,
because the most important thing here is emes. If the judge will be extremely careful not to let one iota of sheker out of his mouth when he's dealing with the people, or he's talking to the other judges, v'chol dvorav heimrak be'emes, and everything he says is only with pure truth, not flattering anybody, not playing up to anybody, focusing, concentrating on that one thing, emes, kifi ma shenire le'enei sichloi ho'emes, as best as the judge perceives what a derech ho'emes is here that he should be following, either al pi toirosenu agdoisha, either based on the Torah, which is the book of truth, so that the judge should try to be extremely careful and focused
on emes, based on his understanding of how the Torah defines emes, or in certain instances, al pi sichloi, the judge has to use the fifth Shulchan Aruch. There's four sections to Shulchan Aruch. The fifth Shulchan Aruch is common sense and his own intelligence. Im roye shehudin meruma, kimavur b'Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that in certain cases where a judge is dealing with a conflict and he sees that one of the two or both of the two is very sharp, and he's done things in such a way that he's trying to twist the Torah in order to help him get money that's not really due to him. And again, he wants to do it with the help of the Torah, with the help of the Shulchan Aruch. He wants to try to swindle somebody out of money or something else, and such things are possible. So in scenarios where a judge sees that, the judge is allowed to put the Torah aside and use his own intelligence to try to see how to get clarity here and how to put the wrong person in his place. Even though he's waving a flag at the Torah, he's quoting the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch as his defense to show that he's right, the judge has the authority to say, Shmendrik, you graduated first or second grade elementary street and you're quoting Torah to me? I don't want to hear any Torah from you right now. Just tell me what happened. I want to know, when did you borrow? When did you give? What did you... That's all. I don't want to hear... The Torah you'll save for your lecture on Shabbos afternoon when everybody goes to sleep. After everybody's asleep, you'll give your lecture then, and whoever wants to hear your Torah, maybe they'll wake up to hear it. But for now, keep the Torah out of it. A judge has the authority to say that when he sees he's dealing with phony baloney. He's dealing with Mirma. He's dealing with somebody who's dressing up like a Talmud Chacham. He's making himself appear as if he's all for Torah, when in actuality, he's trying to misuse the Torah to commit sins, chas v'shalom. Vazai, and then, kishekol dvorov heimrak be'emes, if the judge will be extremely careful that every word coming out of his mouth and every move he makes in this trial is with pure truth. Ve'enoi noite l'shum tzad. He's not favoring either side whatsoever, because one of the definitions of emes, truth, is the middle. We know that we speak about, we'll see, we'll have it soon, but we know that there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram Avinu is known as Ish HaChesed, the open house policy, open door. He's the right side. Yitzchak Avinu is called Pachad Yitzchak. He is Yira, Gevura. He's the left side. Yaakov Avinu is called Tiferes. He's in the middle. He's the combination of the two. And he's also called Emes. Titein Emes LiYaakov, Chesed LaAvram. Because the word Emes, the Aleph is all the way on the right of the Aleph Beis. The Tuf is all the way on the left. They're extremely opposite ends of the Aleph Beis. And the Mem is right in the middle. The word Emes shows this concept of a clarity, a clear path of not swerving to either side, being centered, being focused. And in fact, Rabbi Nosson Zal writes in another place in the Kutei Luchos that Emes is the highest form of spiritual light, because it's koilel everything. Emes is called roish toich soy, beginning, middle, and end, from top to bottom. Everything holy, everything good is included in that word emes. So if the judge will be careful that the judge will not deviate at all from emes, azay niskayim, then they will be fulfilled the pasuk, Elokim Nitzov Ba'adas Kel, that Hashem stands by a heavenly gathering, by the judges, Bekerev, among the judges. Ki Azai, because if the judge will be careful to stick to the truth, Hashem Yisborach Oimed Shom Ba'adas Hadayonim Haksherim Asher Divreim Be'emes. Hashem stands there at a gathering of judges, religious judges,
who are speaking only truth. Ki emes hu oir Hashem yisporach bi'atzmoy kaviyachol. Because truth is the light of Hashem himself. Ve'ikr hishtoikeku shel Hashem yisporach einoi elo elo emes. And Hashem's only yearning, the only thing that Hashem is attracted to, is emes. Emes is a magnet that draws Hashem. Sheker is a magnet that repels Hashem. There's a pasuk, Doiver Shkorim Lo Yikoin Leneged Einai. Hashem says, one who speaks falsely lies cannot be in front of my eyes. Can't have my, get him away from me. We can't be in the same place. So Sheker repels Hashem. Emes attracts Hashem. So if the judges want to make sure that they have Hashem in their courtroom, the judges have to be solid in their emes. Vazai, and then, hadibur emes, the words of truth, shehu oir Hashem yisborach kavioch, which is the light of Hashem, meir lahadayim, that will serve like a spotlight for the judge. The judge finds himself in a situation of darkness. He sees two people coming before him, this judge, and they're both, each one looks honest. One's got a longer beard, a shorter beard, no beard. One looks like, and they're both talking, and they're both in major disagreement. Each one is saying, they're right, I'm right, he wronged me, he owes me the money, and he owes me the money, I don't owe him anything, back and forth. And the judge, with all of his knowledge of Torah, he's looking at the situation, and it's dark. He can't see. He doesn't see clear. He doesn't have clarity in knowing who's right, who's wrong. So Rav Nelson Zal writes here that one of the most powerful lights in existence is emes, truth. If the judge will be careful to be truthful and honest in every word coming out of his mouth and in every aspect of how he deals with them, the truth is Hashem. Hashem l'kemes. That will guarantee that the judge has Hashem in his courtroom with him. Elokim nitzov badas kel. And if Hashem is there, all the lights are on. There's no darkness. Where Hashem is, there's clarity. Vazai zoiche liroi soemes imime habale dinim. And then the judge will be able to see clearly with which one of these two the truth is. And then the judgment will become perfectly clear. Ki hadibur emes shel hadayon meir umegale ho emes mitoich ha-choshech v'ha-sheker shel shekenegdoi shetoyin sheker. Because the honest words coming out of this judge's mouth and the way that he's dealing with them with honesty, that will outshine any darkness, any falseness that any one of these two is trying to project. One of the two or both of them is covering up the truth with sheker, with falseness. You want to be able to beam, to shine a light there that there's no gray anymore. We know every people that drive and people that deal with light and darkness know that light is clear and darkness can also be pretty clear. If you have your headlights on, if you have your, you can see pretty clear in the darkness. The biggest problem is twilight. When it's gray, when it's in between, then even if you put on your lights, your regular lights, it's not necessarily enough. The gray is harder to decipher than the... So here we're being told that the eitzah in those situations is emes. Emes represents so hot, bright a light. The Torah says about Hashem, Hashem oircha va'amitcha. Hashem is your light and your truth. If you will be honest, really honest, you will attract, you will magnetically attract Hashem to yourself. And when Hashem is with you, you will have clarity. You will be able to see very clearly who's right and who's wrong. You'll be able to see through any falseness that any of them are putting up. V'zeh b'chinas... Hadon din emes la'amitoi shamru chachameinu zal. And this is why the Gemara tells us in several places about judges that if a judge is zeiche to paskin, to rule on a situation, a din emes la'amitoi, the truth, the honest truth. Emes la'amitoi. A person would say, that's double talk. Honest truth seems like you're repeating yourself. Shediktiku ha'meforshim tevas la'amitoi. And we find the commentaries on the Gemara all speak about this. What does that mean? The honest truth. There's an honest truth and there's a not honest truth? Achal pianal meduktok heitev. However, based on what we just explained, you can understand the words of the Gemara very clearly. La'amitoi daika, that the Gemara is making a very important point by saying din emes la'amitoi. Ki bevadai yochoy lihiois shehadayin yodin din emes al pi ha-Torah lefi ta'anosam, because it's very possible for a judge to hear out two litigants. He hears their arguments. He checks with the Torah. This one is saying A, this one's saying B. He looks it up and he sees that in such a situation where this is a D, the Torah says that this one is wrong and this one is right. Based on their arguments, based on their presentation, the Afal Pikein, and despite the fact that he heard what they said, he listened to what they said, he had the knowledge of Torah, and despite that, Yechayev es hazakai al pi oemes, he will declare the one who's really innocent, he'll declare him guilty. He'll make the innocent person have to pay $25,000, $50,000, $1 million when he's really innocent. He really doesn't owe the money. Al pi oemes, based on the truth, based on what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on avol be'emes, but in reality, kishehadayon nizor moed, sheyia kol dvorav be'emes b'li shum hatoya kanal, if the judge will be able to be careful, perfectly careful, that he doesn't speak any falseness whatsoever, no lies, no falseness, and he doesn't show any iota of fault, of favoritism to anybody. He's not fake or phony in any of his conduct at all whatsoever. Azai meir loy ho'emes, shehu oir Hashem yisborach bi'atzmoy kavyochol. Then he'll have a different level of emes completely shining on him. We know that the person can walk into a room that's dark or that's gray, and he puts on a flashlight, he puts on some kind of a light, a 10-watt bulb or something, and he looks around, he's looking for something, and he doesn't find it, and he comes back and says, it's not there. And somebody else tells you, you're nuts, what are you telling me, it's not there? I know it is there, I put it there 10 minutes ago. I looked, I put on the light, I looked, it wasn't there, there's nothing to talk about. Guy says, come with me. And he pulls out his flashlight that's got a 300-watt bulb in it. And he puts it on, and suddenly the guy says, whoa, I thought I saw what was in this room. I had no idea that I was using a pea shooter, using a nothing. Now I see, oh, of course, it's right over there. It's right over there. So we see that different levels of light, you could think you're seeing clearly, and you're not seeing at all. So if the judge will be zeicher to be really amiti, then he's zeicher to the light that the light of Hashem himself shines upon him, v'zeicher lirois ho'emes la'amitoi, and then he'll get to see the real truth, ki nizgale ho'or mitoich ha'choshech, because the light is revealed from within the darkness, al yedei hadibur emes, through the words of truth that the judge is particular to speak, shehu bechinas oir Hashem yisborach biatzmoy kavyocho, which is literally emes, is the light of Hashem himself. And Rav Nosson Zal says, v'hovein heitev, understand what we're saying here very, very carefully, because this is extremely important. We're going to give two examples in a minute where you'll see how important this really is. And this is why the Gemara uses this wording, that a judge who brings forth a real honest ruling, real honest ruling. Let's give two perfectly clear examples. The Torah tells us that the Jews worshipped the golden calf. Hashem saw this, and Hashem got really mad, because the Gemara says one of the things that gets Hashem really angry is idol worship. Hashem, in his anger, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, step aside. get out of my way, let me at them. I'm going to destroy them completely and will create a new nation coming from you. What does Hashem want Moshe Rabbeinu to do? Anybody have any questions here? Hashem made it perfectly clear. And a first grader could understand. Hashem said, get out of the way so that I can destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu hears this and he says, interesting. Hashem said, get out of the way. I think he's giving me a message. I think he's hinting to me that I am in a position to block him. That if I choose not to step aside, he can't really do this. He can't destroy them. Here we go. Moshe Rabbeinu rolls up his sleeves and starts punching. Starts punching at Hashem. Forgive them. No. Forgive them. No. Forgive them. No. No. Forgive them? Yes. Moshe Rabbeinu goes at it for 120 days. He goes up to heaven for 40 days, then another 40 days. Two rounds. He went up to heaven first 40 days to get the Torah, bring down the Luchos. The Egel, he goes up for 40 days. No success. Hashem is still saying no. Goes up another 40 days, and the answer is yes. And we know, I mentioned this many times, I have a friend who had a father who was a salesman in business, and he prided himself that he was really a serious salesman. He always used to say the sale begins when the customer says no. If a customer needs something, you don't need a salesman for that. The salesman begins when a guy knocks on the door and he's selling vacuum cleaners. And the woman answers the door and he says, Mrs. So-and-so, I'm here to make your life better. I have this wonderful vacuum cleaner here. She says, get out of my house, get out of the neighborhood. I'm going to call the police. I have six vacuum cleaners here that I'm not using. The last thing I want in my life is a vacuum cleaner now. The guy says, lady, I hear you perfectly well. I just have one thing to tell you. And he gives his spiel, and she buys another six vacuum cleaners from him for the grandchildren that she doesn't have yet. Her son just got married, but she hopes they're going to be blessed with kids, and they'll probably have at least six, so she's preparing the six. Now, a person would say, she said she doesn't want. Didn't you hear what I said? He knew this salesman was trained enough to know that when she said she doesn't want, she didn't mean she doesn't want. She meant she doesn't want based on such and such criteria. But if it's half price and if it's this and it's then of course she'll take it. What's the question? Lahavdil. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem say no. You can't get anybody more honest here. We're not talking about a housewife. We're talking about Hashem himself. Hashem's going to change. Is there a concept of Hashem changing his mind? Hashem is truth. There's no shinoi by Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that what Hashem really wanted him to do was to stand his ground, not to get out of the way. See here, now, was Hashem lying? Hashem wasn't lying. Hashem said, get out of the way. He meant get out. That was one choice. Choice A is get out of the way. I'll destroy the Jews. But it doesn't mean that there isn't a choice B. Moshe Rabbeinu read between the lines. He knew a choice B. Now we come to another example that Rav Nosson Zal Gizel in Kutei Halachos. When Hashem first decided to create the world, and there was a question whether to go ahead and create man or not. So the Medrash says there were two groups of angels. The angels of truth said, don't do it, Hashem. Don't create man. You're going to be sorry. Man is going to sin. Man lies. He's the opposite of you. You're truth. Man is a liar. Man, people lie. And another group of angels said, Hashem, go ahead. There's truth, you'll have nachas. The Gemara says that Hashem took the angels of truth and threw them to the ground. And he said, I'm going ahead and creating man. So at one point, the angels of truth said to Hashem, Hashem, you're taking your own seal. The seal of Hashem is truth. The Torah begins, the first three words in the Torah are Bereshis, Bara, Elokim. The last letters spell the word Emet. The last words of creation begins with truth and creation ends with truth. Asher bara Elokim lasois, when we make Kiddush Friday night, we say the last words of creation, bara Elokim lasois, the last letters are truth. So these are the two pillars of the whole creation. So the angel of truth said, Hashem, you're taking me and throwing me to the ground? Hashem said, you're right. Let me pick you up. And there's a pasuk, emes me'eretz titzmoch. The truth came up from the ground. This is a Gemara that many Meforshim give different explanations to. Rab Nelson Zal gives his explanation. And Rab Nelson Zal says, let's analyze what's going on here. These were the angels of truth. Truth said not to create man. You know, according to the truth is not to create. Then how could it possibly, then if Hashem went ahead and created man, then it's false. Make up your mind, what's truth? If they are malachi emes, if they're called angels of truth, and they said not to create, then how could it be that Hashem goes ahead and creates? And Rav Nosson Zal explains, and it applies here exactly the same, that the word truth is a relative term. There's truth and there's truth. Just like over here, there's emes and there's emes la'amitoi. And Rav Nosson Zal says that the angels of truth, who are certainly one of the highest levels of truth in existence, but they don't compare to Hashem himself. The angels of truth could be 1,000-watt light bulb. Truth is light, right? The angels of truth are 1,000-watt light bulb. Hashem is 1,000,000,000,000-watt light bulb. Try that on for size. So you take the 1,000-watt light bulb and you're looking for clarity, you're looking for something and you can't find it, it don't mean it's not there. You bring this other light bulb, you bring a different league of light bulb and put it on, and suddenly you see a different picture completely. Rav Nosson Zal says these were called the angels of truth. They were at least one step removed from the truth of Hashem. So what they were saying was, they were right, that based on certain factors, it makes perfect sense not to go ahead with the creation of man. But there are things that they couldn't possibly know. They didn't know about the power of tshuva, that there's tshuva. And Rav Nosson Zal explains and shows how it's only tzaddikim who are in this world, who are being tested with bechira, who have to go up against an angel, a Yetzirah, they can achieve a higher level of truth than the angels of truth. These angels are called Malach Shelemes. They represent a certain level of truth. Again, they can bring psukim in the Torah to show that they're right. Doesn't mean that that's the ultimate truth. There's a higher truth. There's the truth of Hashem, which only Hashem knows. And the greatest of tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to hear Hashem say, get out of the way, I want to destroy them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you don't really mean that, Hashem. You crazy? Who are you talking to? You're talking to Hashem? You're telling Hashem you don't really mean it? What do you think, this is your buddy? Yes, 100%. Moshe Rabbeinu was buddy enough with Hashem that he knew Hashem and understood Hashem more so than the angels. Much more so than the angels. The greatest tzaddikim are masig this emes la'amitoi, the real truth. And Rav Nosson Zal showing us here that the more that a person will be honest, the more that a Jew will work on themselves to get to higher and higher level degrees of honest, no phony, nothing phony, nothing fake, that'll give them the ability to sort out the truth in all kinds of situations in life. One situation is court. In court, every minute there's this problem that both guys coming in, they both look right, or they both look wrong. You want to shoot both of them. They both belong in prison and jail. And the judge has to try to figure out who's right, who's both right. What do I do here? I need the lights in this place. They got fluorescence and halogen. It's a joke. These lights don't show you who's right here. I need a sonogram. I need an X-ray. I need a laser beam to be able to go inside to these guys to see what's beneath the covering. On the outside, he's got a long beard, or he looks wearing a three-piece suit. He looks like the most honest, respectable. You don't know, he's a killer. He's a swindler. He swindled 600 people, and he's going for the 700 now.
So the solution here is this emes, that the judge, the dayan, has a tremendous achrayis to focus on the emes. Paragraph Gimel. Paragraph Gimel, Vize Sham Rabbi Seinuzal, and this is why the Gemara tells us, Kol Hadon Din Emes La'amitoi, that any judge who is zeichet to bring forth a ruling that's the real truth. Again, not just he opened the Shulchan Aruch, he read a line there, but he was able to see the real truth, to see, to be able to ask the right questions, to push the right buttons, to be able to get underneath what these guys are trying to cover up and hide. We gave the example, we mentioned that a person came to a rabbi to ask him, do you sit Shiva on Shabbos? The rabbi said, of course. People heard it and they said, the rabbi's got to go to jail. What kind of rabbi? Is he reform? Is he reconstructionist? Where's his shaitel? So they went and checked. And they found out that this rabbi was a little smarter than them. This rabbi knew that the person whose father had passed away was a Machal Shabbos. If the rabbi would have told him he doesn't have to sit Shiva, he'd get in the car and go to work. So he told him, of course you sit on Shabbos. What is sit on Shabbos? Stay home. Don't get in the car. Don't go to work. And he gave this, the father who passed away, and his living son, he gave him their first Shabbos. First Shabbos he ever had was he was sitting Shiva for his dad. Because the rabbi was smart. You look in the book, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you sit Shiva Shabbos. No, it says it right there, black and white. But you have to be able to, that's emet. Is it true? It's true. But there's an emes lamitoi, there's a higher truth, which tzaddikim, a rabbi who's on a high enough level, sees a little further. Not just ABC. Anybody can tell you that. To be able to see exactly how is it going to apply to this particular situation, this person in this circumstance. So the Gemara says, Kol Hadon Din Emes Lamitoi, any judge who is zeicha to bring forth a really honest ruling, Ke'ilu Nase Shutuf LaKodesh Baruch Hu B'maisa Bereishis. That judge, it's as if he were a partner with Hashem in creation. Shenemar, because the pasuk says by creation, vayhi erev, vayhi voker, yom echod. It was night, it was morning, one day, v'hosam ksiv, and when it comes to judges judging cases, the pasuk says v'chol ha'om nitzov olecho me'aboker ad ho'erev. It uses the same wording from morning to night. So the Gemara says, from here we learn out, that a judge who is zeicha to do his job really properly, really correctly, is like a partner to Hashem in creation. Ki isa sham b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal, because Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 9 in Likutei Moran, shal yidei dibur ho'emes hanal, that by speaking really honestly and truthfully, shayidei zeh zeicha lehispalel, that will help a person be able to daven. We mentioned before that usually when a person is davening, every confusing thought, every thought that they don't want to be thinking about is suddenly bombarding them at the time when they want to be able to concentrate and focus on tefillah. And the person feels like he's in a darkness. He's trying to connect with Hashem, he's trying to concentrate, and he's totally surrounded by all of this confusion. We said that the solution is emes. That even if you can't daven with your whole heart, with tremendous enthusiasm and everything, at least say the words honestly. Mean what you're saying and say what you mean. Translate the words into your own language, into English, whatever it is, and at least say it honestly. Al yidei zeh mekayim kol hashloisha oilamois. And Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moran that a person who does this, when a person davens, then they're actually supporting and maintaining the three worlds, Shehem, which are Olam HaShofel, the lowest world, the world that we exist in. Then the next world is the Olam HaKoychovim, the world of the stars. And then the third world is the world of the angels. This is how the Rambam, when the Rambam defines creation, he speaks about these three levels, Shofal, Koichov, and Malach. The lowest level, Shofal, Koichov is the sun, the stars, the galaxies, all of that. And then above that is the spiritual worlds, angels, and everything above that. V'alkein, and therefore, Hadayon, Shedon din emes lamitoi, a judge who is zecha to bring forth a really honest ruling, Shehu gamkein tikun hu emuna, shebechinas tefila, who is accomplishing the same thing as what Rabbeinu Zal spoke about over there in Likut Imran. We said over there in Likut Imran he was talking about tefila, which is emuna. Here we're talking about a court of law, which is also trying to define emuna. What's the truth here? What's the real truth? That judge is also supporting and maintaining the three worlds. That's why the Gemara uses that wording, that the judge becomes a partner with Hashem in creation, because creation was these three worlds. These worlds are supported by tefillah, we said before, through tefillah. When the tefillah is able to be proper, and we said the tefillah proper means with emes, and tefillah is called emuna, and we said so too in a courtroom, when people come into a courtroom, and one is lying, he's lying because he don't believe in Hashem. If he thought it was Hashem, you're not fooling, who are you going to fool? You're fooling the judge? There's a big judge, there's Big Daddy who's watching, you ain't going to fool him. So people coming to a court with dishonesty, it's a lack of faith in Hashem. The judge who's trying to correct this lack of faith, to sort it out and see who's right and wrong, when he succeeds, he is also a partner in creation. And this is why the Shulchan Aruch tells us that a court, the most basic court in Torah is three judges. Because their three judges correspond to the three channels of truth. Truth always involves the three. Ki emes, the word emes, kolol mitlas bechinois, includes three levels. Roish, the aleph is the first letter of the aleph beis. Toich. Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph Beis. If you count the 22 letters, you'll see Aleph is number one, Mem is right in the middle, and Tav is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. Kayadua, as is known. So Emes is something that's kolel everything from beginning to end. Bechinas Yaakov, corresponding to Yaakov Avinu, shekolul mishloisha avos, who is a composite of all three forefathers of the Jews, Shehu bechinas emes. Yaakov is called emes. There's a pasuk, titein emes liyaakov. Because he's three, because vehu bechinas mishpat. And we know that Yaakov Avinu is also called mishpat. There's a pasuk, mishpat utzedoka beyaakov ato asiso. Kemuva b'makacher b'simen beiz. As Rabbeinu Zal speaks about it in chapter 2 on Likut Imran. Vezeu bechinas shloisha dayonim. This is why we have three judges, because their mission is emes. You have to have an aleph, a mem, and a tuf. You have to have these three judges who are not identical. One is relative to the others. He's going to be on the right. The other one's going to be on the left. The third one in the middle. Together, if they cooperate together, and if they're honest, they're going to be able to bring forth the emes. Ki ikar tikkun hamishpot tolui b'emes. Because the main perfection of justice is dependent on truth. Meaning, to be able to bring forth the real truth. The judges are zoiche, if they are particular to speak only truth, that it should be revealed to them, mitoy ein emes or mitoy ein sheker. Which one of the two is telling the truth and which one is lying? Ki ho emes meir. Because truth is a light. Hashem oircho v'amitcho. Gam, in addition, hashloisha dayonim, shem keneged shloisha kavei emes,
These three judges who represent the three channels of truth, Miramzim, that alludes to the fact, Shehem Mekaimim Hashloisha Oilamois. That's what gives them the ability to support those three worlds, Shofol, Koichov, and Malach. Sheikr Kiyumam Al Yedei Tikkun HaEmunah B'chinas Tefillah, which Rabbeinu Zal wrote over there in Likut Imran chapter 9, that what supports the worlds is repairing Emunah, which is Tefillah. Shenasa Al Yedei HaEmes. And Rabbeinu Zal writes there in Likut Imran that when your Tefillah is not going so well, make sure you focus on Emes. At least mean what you say and say what you mean. At least just that. Just focus only on that. Nothing else. Shezehu gamkein bechinas din emes lamitoi. That's also the same concept that Rabbeinu Zal brings over there in the Kutran regarding tefillah. The same concept applies in the courtroom regarding the judges. Shehu gamkein bechinas tikkun ha'emunah. They are also involved, the judges are involved in repairing and bringing forth the emunah, the faith in Hashem. When a judge is zoche to show, we know, when Shlomo HaMelech had different situations that came before him of people, two women, each one claiming the child was this, that, when Shlomo HaMelech was able to reveal the truth, every single person that heard it, that saw it, got a boost in emunah like never before. They saw the greatness of Hashem and the greatness of his tzaddikim, that Hashem and tzaddikim have a light that can cut through all the baloney, that can cut through all the falseness, the darkness, the gray, all of it disappears completely when you're dealing with a trillion-watt bulb. There's no trace of darkness, nothing is unclear. Everything is extremely clear. Paragraph Dalet, v'zeh shekosuv, and this is why the Torah warns, v'shoichad loy sikach, that a judge should not accept any kind of bribery. Why? Ki hashoichad ye'aver. Because a bribe will blind. It turns off the lights. Blind means can't see, darkness. Rav Nosson Zal says, look at the choice of words that are used. Ye'aver, blinding. Ki ikr tikkun hamishpot hu sheho emes meir loy. Because what is justice? What is a court of law? A court of law is a place where the judges are such honest people. They have achieved such a level of honesty that there's such a light shining for them that when people come into the room that are phony, that are fake, that are gray or dark, this judge's truth is a million-watt light bulb that cuts through the darkness. It cuts through the nonsense. It cuts through the falseness. The judge sees how to be able to reveal the truth, to bring forth the truth from within, from the darkness. But a judge who accepts any kind of bribe, any kind of graft whatsoever, nimtza shein lo yemes. That shows that this judge is not really honest. He's on the take. Vafilu im einoi roitze lahatois hamishpot. And therefore, even if his intention is that he wants to come up with a proper judgment, he doesn't want to change it, favor that other person. Once he accepted any kind of bribe from the other person, the judge has forfeited his honesty. He lost his vision. And if he doesn't have emes, azai nishar iver. He is blind. He's in a state of blindness, darkness. As Rabbeinu Zal says over there, ki yefshir lirois ki mal yedei hoemes, because it is impossible to really see unless you're honest. Shehi bechinas or, because emes, another word for light in Judaism, is truth. If people who are not truthful, they have glasses, they have contact lenses, they have telescopes, microscopes, they don't see. They don't see. They think they're seeing. They think they see what's good, what's bad for them. They buy things. They do all kinds of stuff because they have perfect. I just came back from the optometrist. He told me my vision is perfect. Vision is perfect. And they make silly decisions. They mess themselves up and their family. I don't understand what happened. I saw the papers. I read the papers and everything. I can read. I can see. I read the papers. It looked like a perfect deal, a perfect investment. How did it happen that the thing went totally sour? The answer is you thought you could see. You thought you have vision. To the degree that a person is lacking in MS, they can fool themselves. They can think they see. You look at, oh, I met this rabbi. He's a big tzad. Mama, she saw the shechin on his face. Really? How would you know? How would you know what the Shekhinah looks like? What'd you do? Looked it up in the Yellow Pages? Bought a magazine that tells you what the Shekhinah... No, he's a big... You should have seen his face. I saw... And he was big. Mamash, a big rabbi. People are acting silly. It's a silliness. It's a nuttiness. Do you know what defines a big rabbi? Do you know what defines a rabbi? Let's leave the big rabbi out. Do you know the definition of a rabbi? Let's start there first. You know how much a person has to learn and study to be able to know what qualifies as a rabbi? And then you want to talk about a big rabbi? You want to talk about a tzaddik? You know what the definition? How do we measure a tzaddik? By his nose, if it's longer or shorter, if he talks quietly or if he yells loud. What bigger tzaddik? A person needs to know that there's an issue of emes, and there's a book of emes called the Torah. And it's not 6 or 7 pages. It's 6 or 7 million pages or billion pages. And unless a person is very, very, very learned themselves, they're not necessarily qualified to know what's big rabbi, small, what's emes, and what's emes lamitoi, what's higher, what's lower. They don't necessarily know. So either the person has to know a lot themselves, or the person has to know someone who knows a lot, who's on that kind of level. And on top of everything, there has to be this underlying level of emes that a person recognizes that the place that we are in, this entire world has a name to it. The world that we live in, including Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, is called Sheker. This world is called Olam HaSheker. We're in the world of falseness. The next world, the future, is called Olam HaEmet. So here again, if a person is walking around smiling and doing his thing and acting as if he's in Wonderland, Alice in Wonderland, he sees the car, this is a more expensive, I'm not stupid, this is a better car. Anybody knows that a Mercedes, that this car costs $300,000 and this car costs $30,000. You don't have to be a genius to figure out which is a better car. Yes, you do. You don't know that in some cases, the Mercedes will bring you so much suffering, so much ayin hara, so much spoil your kids. You don't know how much better your life would have been. I have a friend who lives in New York, a Sephardic Jew, who at one point was totally not religious, not observant, and was doing pretty well in business, got married, started having kids, started becoming religious, and at one point got rid of his Mercedes, got a different car, because he said, I want to help my kids. I don't want to hurt my kids. I don't want my kids to grow up knowing that if you don't have a Mercedes, you can't make it in this world. I want my kids to grow up to know if you don't keep Shabbos, you can't make it in this world. There are certain things that you can't make it. I don't want to become dependent on luxuries or things like that, which a person does not need in this world to succeed. I want to give them a clear picture of what life is real, a healthy picture of what life is about, so that they'll live a chaim toivim, a good life, a proper life. We'll hold it over here for now. Paragraph 8.